All right, Shabbos, good morning. Good morning. Let us begin by thanking all of our sponsors for this morning's share. To thank, our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Shvat, Mrs. Selma Wolf, for dedicating all the Sherman Drushos this month with immense gratitude for the tefillos, for the refuels from Hashem, and the merit of a refuah shlema for all of those in need, in the schus of our brave soldiers, and the merit of Hashem in the schus of the return of each of our hostages. Our week of learning sponsors, Derek and Lauren Fine, in memory of Derek's mother, Rachel Bas Shmuel, Zichron Livracha. And of course, we dedicate Maseches Baba Kama Li'ili Nishmas, Master Sergeant Elio Michal Harush Hashem Yikom Damo. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, all of the Neshamas will have an Aliyah, the families in Nechama, and in merit Hashem, all of our soldiers, should in merit Hashem be successful. B'chol Ma'asei Adeyem. And in merit Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bring home our hostages, b'shalom u'bekarov. But so with that, let us begin. We have incredible Gemara ahead of us today. Today's daf is Tzadik Hei 95, and we are picking up in merit Hashem on Tzadik Dalet Amud Beis 94b, and I believe we left off at the Meisvei. And I will say, I know many of you were troubled, profoundly troubled, by the last piece that we did in yesterday's daf about the Takanas HaShavim. This idea that Chazal instituted that when someone steals and then brings back the stolen object, somehow it's incumbent upon the owner of the object, the victim, to say, thank you so much for paying me back, but no, you could keep it. You could keep it. While it's beautiful on one hand to facilitate the tshuva of one Jew, it seems to really put at a disadvantage, ultimately, again, the victim. So we're gonna continue to work through this. This is part of today's topic as well. I realized afterwards, I think what we should do is maybe one evening, we'll get together a special shiur about this Takanas HaShavim, because it happens to be, Shulchan Aruch is fascinating on this, the Rambam is fascinating on this. There are a whole bunch of kind of like exceptions to this rule, but again, we'll try to cover as much of it as we can today. But if you're troubled by it, you're in good company. There's a lot of discussion about this. Let's go ahead. So may say, the Gemara says, Lori is the Kasha. So may say, Hiniach Lema Bien. So remember, yeah, so that's the halacha of Takanas HaShavim. So again, Reuven steals from Shimon. Reuven wants to go out and do tshuva. Reuven brings the object back. Shimon's supposed to say, no thank you. And if Shimon, in fact, does accept the stolen object back, what does the Gemara say? Ein ruach hachamim milcha himenu. You know, the rabbis are not happy with such a person like that. Chazal are not happy with a person like that. Whereas the Meisei, is that true? Hiniach lema mo'o shoribis. So now watch this. Interesting case. Let's say Yaakov died. And Yaakov had left money, had left an outstanding loan that he had lent to someone with interest. Right? And he had collected the interest. Shabbos says, interesting. So now, what happens? Yaakov dies. Reuven and Shimon, his sons. I know I'm really moving Reuven and Shimon around a lot today. But now Reuven and Shimon are brothers, and they get along. Or not. Right? So, but the point is over here, they're the sons of Yaakov. So now they inherit their father, and included in their Yerusha is Ribis money. Right, again, so remember Yaakov had charged interest and collected the money. So now what's the halacha? Even though Reuben and Shimon know that the money in that account is ribis money, nevertheless, ultimately they are not obligated to return it to the owner. Interesting. So the Gemara says, inu delo. So what do you see from here? You see it's the kids, Reuben and Shimon, who are not obligated to return the money. Ha'avim chayav lahachzir. But we can infer from that ultimately when Yaakov was alive, Yaakov would have been obligated to return the ribis money. But once again, what did we just say before? What should have been the halacha? If Yaakov were to return the ribis money, what should be the halacha? What should be the halacha? That the victim would say, thank you so much for coming by, but please keep the money. So you see from here, this contradicts that. So the Gemara says, "Bedinu davi emnami einu chayav lahachzir." In reality, it would appear that even Yaakov himself would not have been obligated to return the interest money. So why does it then make mention? Why does it reference this halacha in terms of the kids? And as Rabbi said, the fact that it says that the Yarshim, the inheritors, the children, Reuven and Shimon, aren't chayiv to return the money, sounds like what it's saying is the father is chayiv to return the money. So what's going on over here? If we wanted to create textual symmetry, what's in the seifa? Hiniach lahem aviem para vitalis chaldavar mesuyam chayovin lahachzir bipnei kavar aviem. Oh, we'll say, see, here we go. Here we go. So when does this halacha apply? That if the father left behind, let's say, right, Yaakov, the father left behind some type of illegally gained object. So the halacha seems to say that the children are not obligated to go ahead and return the object, right? When is that so? That's with something like money, right? Money, because we'll say, what happens with money? Money, right? An interesting thing about money is illegal money blends in with legal money. People do this every day, right? Right. So illegal money blends in with legal money. But yet, if Yaakov had left behind what? A davar mesuyam. Davar mesuyam means something that was identifiable. For example, let's say Yaakov, the father, had stolen a cow. Stolen a cow, right? And again, now he died. And it's clear that's the cow that he stole. That's a case where halacha lemaisa, the children are obligated to return the cow. Why? Out of kavod for their father. Out of kavod for their father. In other words, it's not nice. It's not nice. It's disparaging. It's disrespectful. Ultimately, again, for Yaakov's memory to continuously be tarnished by the presence of the stolen cow. So Rabbi will say, what do you see from here? So something very interesting. The Gemara says, watch this. The Gemara says, Mipnei kavod aviyan chayav la'achzir. I don't understand. Out of honor for their father, they're obligated to return the cow. So we'll say, now what the Gemara is making is this interesting distinction. If Yaakov lent money with interest and collected interest, and then died, and then his sons inherited the money, so the sons would not be obligated to go ahead and return that money, right? Because again, halacha l'maaseh, that's kind of covered under takanas hashavim. But if Yaakov stole an identifiable object, and the object is still in existence when Yaakov dies, and the sons, quote-unquote, inherit the object, the sons are obligated to return that object. Why? Why? It's covered for their father. As covered for their father, ultimately, again, this is covered for them, this is covered for their father, that stolen object shouldn't remain in their position. So the Gemara will say, now watch this, interesting twist and turn over here. He will say, first wide line, are these children obligated and covered for their father? Ikri kan v'nasi ba'am cholosar. So we'll say, the Pasuk says, literally, a leader amongst your people, do not curse. Do not curse. And I will say, the Gemara Darshan's, but also Maisa Amcha. When are you obligated to respect the leader? Ultimately, when he behaves like a member of the Jewish nation. So I will say, so this idea over here is something very interesting. When it comes to people who you are obligated to give kavod to, ultimately, that is assuming that they're behaving in a way in which they are deserving of that kavod. Now, it's fascinating. There's so much in here. What's fascinating about this is the Gemara is presupposing that this applies to a parent as well. Watch this. When am I obligated in Kibbud Avaim? When am I obligated in Kibbud Avaim? When my father and mother act as a father and mother should. If they do not act as the way a father and mother should, then halach l'maisa I am not chayiv in Kibbud. Now, what I want to be clear on, not being chayiv in Kibbud Avaim does not mean that you're allowed to disrespect your parents, right? So to be clear, one is never permitted halachically to disrespect their parents. However, there are times where I may be exempted from the obligation of positive honoration. Yes, that is a word, right? Right? Positive honoration, right? Where I might be, so we'll say, so there's a lot of, you know where this comes up, Rahman al-Islam, this comes up in situations of abusive parents, right? One is not obligated in Kibbud Avaim of an abusive parent. Now, what does that mean? It doesn't mean you could disrespect the abusive parent, but what it means is the child is permitted to disconnect. Obviously, I'm making a very sweeping statement that one should not apply to any specific case without really getting guidance on a particular situation, Rahman al-Islam. But again, there's this concept that sometimes in halacha, you're permitted to just remove yourself from the framework of Kibbud Avaim. So the Gemara is suggesting over here, I don't understand. If Yaakov was a guy who lent with interest, and now ultimately, again, he dies, and now his kids inherit the money, or for that matter, again, this is not the interest, this is the cow case, right? So now the Gemara is saying they should return the cow out of honor to their father. Why do they owe honor to their father? The man lent money with the man stole, was a thief. So why are they obligated in Kibbud for him? But as the Gemara says, No. The case is where Yaakov, the father, did tshuva. Really? He did tshuva? He asked tshuva. My baya gabe. only one little wrinkle in that answer, which is that 600-pound cow, right, sitting in the garage, right? So in other words, like what is that? What is that? But what do you mean he did shuvah, right? After all, again, the cow was there. I must say, this is so profound. So the Gemara says, ultimately, again, he should have returned the cow. Wow, what an overwhelming answer. You know, say he wanted to be a Baal Tshuva. He wanted to be a Baal Tshuva. He just didn't get a chance to go and return the cow before he died. But the kids knew that dad really had repented his wrong ways, his wrongful ways. And ultimately, again, he died a Baal Tshuva. We'll say, by the way, this Gemara, what a start to the week. Right? We'll see, what do you see from here? If I need to do Tshuva about something, don't wait. Don't wait. We don't know what life holds, and we don't know all the twists and turns, and we have no idea how things play out. If I know that I need to do tshuva, just get it done now. Just get it done now. There is no time to spare. So overwhelming. So in this case over here, the children, they knew that their father wanted to be about tshuva, but ultimately, again, he just never got around to giving back the cow. So this is the case. So now, watch, plug this all together. So this is the case where if the father dies, leaves behind the cow, this is the case where the children, because it's a davar mesuyam, an identifiable item, this is where the children are obligated to return the stolen object in order to restore the dignity of their father. So what you see, see what's happening over here? It would appear that in this case, the owner of the cow would be permitted to accept it back, right? That's what's interesting as well. Why? Because not accepting it back, what does that do? That maintains a stolen object in the possession of the kids, which people identify with the father, which will tarnish the identity of the father. So what you begin to see over here is already, as much as there's takaras ashavim, that says, if somebody steals an object from you, they go ahead and they want to return it, right? So as much as we said that you, the victim, are not permitted to accept in order to facilitate tshuva, we see already that there are certain exceptions to that. Tashma, ha-gazlonu n'malavei ribis, avavim shegavu machzirin. So it was an interesting case over here. So gazlanim, remember again, gazlanim are thieves. Malavei beribis, people who lend with interest. Afapi shagavu, even though they collected, machzirin, they return. So we'll say the wording is very strange over here. Gazlanim mai shagavu ika. So we'll say, so what, I guzzle guzzle, vi I lo guzzle. What does it mean if a thief collected, right? If either a thief stole or he didn't steal. What does that mean? Ela ima ha gazlanim umaynihu. Malavi Ribios, Afapi Shagavu Machzirin. So I'll say, so listen to this. Rather, when it's actually one case. If thieves, which thieves are we talking about? Malavi Ribis. Ultimately, again, we're talking about thieves who go ahead and lend with interest. Afapi Shagavu Machzirin. Right? Ultimately, even though they collected, they return. Amri Machzirin, Ve'im Makablim Nehen. But I'll say, what it means is, if the person who lent with interest wants to do tshuva, so what does he do? He shows up with his interest money, and what does he do? He gives it back, ultimately, again, to the borrower. I will point out, just as an interesting aside, you know, when it comes to ribis, when it comes to interest, the prohibition is on both sides, right? Just as it is prohibited to lend with interest, it is prohibited to borrow with interest. It's one of those interesting halachas that goes, we'll see this in Bab Metzia, that goes both ways. So the Gemara says, what does it mean? It means that when the lender comes back and wants to return the interest money, even though he's offering to return it, ultimately, again, the borrower cannot accept it. Ella lema machzirin. So we'll say, so now, here is what Gemara is bothered by. Essentially, it sounds like we do like this dance, right? What's the dance? I steal something, I go over to the victim, I give it back, and the victim says, what does the victim say? No, thank you. It's okay, you can keep it. So the Gemara says, okay, so what are we doing? To which the Gemara says, Latzeis Yedei Shamayim. Ultimately, what is really interesting, part of the tshuva process of the thief is what? To face his victim. And he's got to show up, right? Money in hand, object in hand, and he's got to say, I'm ready to do tshuva and ready to return the object to you. Now again, the victim, Takana says, is obligated to go ahead and say, no thank you, you can keep it. But Lamaisa, Latzeis Yedei Shamayim. Ultimately, again, to have done complete tshuva, he has to offer up the object as a form of repayment. It's really incredible. Tashma, let's go back there. Haroim v'agaboim v'hamuchsin. So we'll say, roim are shepherds, gaboim are really like tax collectors, And muchsin, or Rashi says over here, gaboim shamelech, ligvos kesef gulgulosa, head tax, varnona, property tax, v'shachli tvei. So apparently, here's the issue. Shepherds often graze their flocks on lands that don't belong to them. Gaboim, tax collectors, overcollect. Muchsin, our customs collectors, also overcollect. Many of these people often exploit their position in order to extract additional funds. So we'll say, what's the halacha? Tshuvasan kasha. We'll say it's very difficult for them to do tshuva. Why? Rashi points out over here, shegazlu harabim feinyobdim lamila hachzir. Because we'll say, remember again, often these people steal from large amounts of people, right? A shepherd grazes flocks on land. He doesn't know who the land belongs to. So he doesn't know who he stole from, right? The tax collectors, the custom collectors, ultimately, again, they're collecting also from the public. So they've cheated a lot of people. They don't know who they cheated. So therefore, it's difficult for them, if they ever want to do tshuva, to return the object back to the original owner. So the Gemara says, so tshuvasan kasha, umachzir lemakirin, so they should return the money to whoever they do recognize. So we'll say, so you see from here, that you are obligated to return a stolen object, to which the Gemara says, amri, machzirin ve'im mekablin mehen. No, what it means is, they're obligated to try to return it. But when they show up and try to return it, ultimately the victim has to say, no thank you. I ve'alalam machzirin. So if that's the case, then why do they even try to return it? Let's say, l'yidei shamayim. But as we just said before, ultimately, again, to satisfy their obligations, klapei shmaya, in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, if you steal something, you have an obligation to return it to the owner. There's a secondary obligation that the owner has to say no thank you in order to go ahead and facilitate tshuva. We'll say incredible. So the Gemara says, Yahi, am I tshuva san kasha? If that's the case, so then why is your tshuva so complicated? Va'od eima seif, look at the end. V'she'in makirin, they'll say, what happens if you steal from someone, like in these kind of cases, and you don't know who you stole from? Yaseba and tzarchei tzibur. They'll say, you should return the money, ultimately again, or give the money to communal coffers, and let the money be used for communal needs. For example, v'am rav chista, boros sichin uma'oros. The example of this would be water cisterns and all types of reservoirs. Elo, so we'll say, so it sounds like from here, you are returning the money. Elo kasha, kan kodem takana, kan li acher takana. We'll say, so the truth is, it could very well be that some of these discussions, some of them are happening before the takana sashavim, and some are happening after takana sashavim. So before takana sashavim, ultimately, again, if you stole something, then what? Then what? You were returning it, and it was accepted. After takana sashavim, you would return something, and what? It wouldn't be accepted. It wouldn't be accepted. The Rebbe said, I have one more piece over here. V'hashta da'amr av nachmin b'she'in gzela kayemes. Oh, Rebbe said, here we go. Here we go. Now, here's another piece. Rav Nachman says, by the way, takana sashavim only applies when the stolen object is not extant. If the stolen object is in existence, you need to give that back. And Rebbe said, That goes back ultimately again to the case of the deceased father, right? See, I was saying, you can't live your life as a Baal Tshuva looking at that stolen object every single day. That's not Tshuva. That's not Tshuva. And furthermore, that's a disparaging thing to you to walk around in your life every single day with that cow, right? That cow, someone else's cow, someone else's object. So therefore, this is another very interesting carve-out. The Rav Nachman says, when does takanas hashavim, when does that happen? I stole an object. The object is no longer here. I want to go ahead and return the financial value of the object. I go over to Reuven. Reuven says, no, thank you. That's takanas hashavim. But if the object that I stole is still in existence, there's absolutely an obligation to give the object back. And the victim is permitted to accept it. So the Gemara says, "Afilu teme idi v'idi lachar takana." Then you can set up both cases of dealing after the takana. V'lo kasha v'osai tap of tzar v'kei 95a. V'lo kasha kan v'gzeila kayemes, kan v'she'in gzeila kayemes. That was, you could be referring to two different cases. One is talking about where the object is extant, and one is where it's not. Where the object is in existence, ultimately, there's an obligation to return it. And by extension, the victim could accept it. And when the object is no longer in existence, ultimately again, and you're just returning money, that's really where takanas hashavim kicks in. And ultimately again, so thief has to make the offer, but victim doesn't accept. So we'll say, one second, let's go back. Remember again, where did takanas hashavim come from? Right? Where did it come from? It came from the case of the thief who wanted to do tshuva. And what did his wife say? Reka, you fool. You fool. Right? If you do tshuva, then what? You won't even have your own belt. They both say, so that was the case of a stolen belt. So what should be the halacha with the stolen belt? What should be the halacha with the stolen belt? You have to return it. You have to return it, right? Because ultimately the object is extant. No. The mei avne. What does he mean when she said? What does he mean when she said the belt? So the Gemara said the mei avne. He didn't actually have the belt. Rather, what did he have? He had the value of the belt. In other words, he had stolen a belt and he had the cash in his pocket. The chohechad exil kayem eslo avar abanan takanta. The Gemara says, so is that true? In any case where the stolen object is actually physically in existence, so takanas hashadin doesn't apply. And you have to return the object. Vahari marish, digzela kayemasi. We'll say, what about the case of the crossbeam? Watch this. What's the case of the crossbeam? We've seen this before. Utanan. Ala marish agazel shebena babira shehi tal damav mipnei takana sashavim. We'll say, what's the halacha? If I steal the crossbeam and I build it into my house, so you know, I don't know what you call the architectural style. Was it like exposed beams? Is that the name of it? Or whatever. Okay, well. I'm asking you guys. All right. Hey, whatever, right? So the mice again, so I build a cross beam into my house. So now what happens? The beam is right there. The beam is right there. It's in existence. Yet what's the halacha? The halacha is I can give the value of the beam back. So what do you see from here? You see from here that halacha lemaisa, even when the stolen object is in existence, you don't have to give it back. To which the Gemara says, no. Shiny hasam the chayvan de ikap seda de bira shavir abanan kidleisin. I'm going to say that's a different kind of case. Why? Because in that case, returning the beam itself would represent what? A dramatic financial loss. Because again, remember, to return the beam, what do you have to do? You have to deconstruct the entire home. So that already would be a bit much to handle. Saloch lemaisa. In that kind of case, we treat it as if the beam doesn't exist. And you return the financial loss. Therefore, we'll say, okay, so this is the end. This is the end of Takanas Hashavim. But let's just identify over here kind of what we've ended with. So we've ended with is Chazal introduced this Takana ultimately to facilitate Shuva. What's the Takana? You stole an object, you want to return it. The victim says, no, thank you, you keep it. So we'll say, what does that do? As a thief, what it does for me is it allows me to do Shuva without taking a financial hit. That's bottom line what it does. So I could go ahead. So I said because Chazal understood at the end of the day, if you make people make a choice between Ruchnius and Gashmius, they're going to choose Gashmius. Like you make people make a choice between being about Shuvah and having a loss of money, I'm going to choose my money. That's human nature. But if you enable people to do Shuvah, without the financial loss, people do tshuva. People want to do the right thing. Are there exceptions to this rule? So it sounds like the major exception is where the stolen object is. Where the stolen object is in existence. Stolen object is in existence. You got to return the object. You can't be about tshuva and have the stolen object in your garage or in your living room or that you can't do. That you have to go out and return the object. So that's what we end off the sugya with. And also we see this concept applies also for the dignity of the father, where the stolen object ultimately again is. We'll say just by the way, as a concept in tshuva, right? This idea that in order to become a Baal tshuva, a person does have to make a clean break with their negative past, right? If the stolen object is sitting in my life, right? If the Dvar Avera is sitting in my life, I can't really move on. I can't really move on. This goes back to the idea that we saw this before, that the Mesachet B'Kuvya, Marmas Chazal Bezara, the Mesachet B'Kuvya, right, so the person who, the gambler, ultimately, again, when does the gambler become a Baal Tshuva? Marmas says, only when he smashes his dice. In order to become a Baal Tshuva, it's not enough just to stop sinning. But a person has to identify all of the pathways and all of the things that led me on that negative path and kind of disassociate from those things as well. So again, like I said, we have more to do on Takanas Hashavim. For example, the Shach brings down the case about what happens if the victim really needs the object back. Like, it's nice and beautiful. I want everybody to do tshuva. But if Reuven stole from me and I really need that thing. So the Shach says, for example, in a case where the victim is in need and the victim can't afford, the victim can accept. So there are multiple carve-outs for this. We'll have to find a different time to delve into it. Okay, let's go back there. Gazal paramu baris yalda. Let's remember again, the Mishnah said, so Reuven steals Reuven stole a pregnant cow and it gave birth, or a sheep that had a lot of wool, and ultimately, again, it was shorn. What's the halacha? So we'll say, again, remember, the theme of the Mishnah always was, when is the value of the theft locked in? At the time of the theft itself. We look at the value of the animal that was stolen, and that ultimately, again, is the obligation you have. So let's go. Tanu Rabbanan, Hagozel Rachel v'gazaza. Let's say, if Reuven stole a sheep and he sheared it, Parav Yalda, or he stole a pregnant cow and it gave birth, Mishanim Osa v'eskizoze v'esvladoze deremer. Mer says, you pay back everything. You pay back everything. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Mishalim Osa is the last wide line. Mishalim Osa is Kizosa. Koma Shinat Omimena Umashesh Bicha. The Emir says, you pay everything. When you steal an animal, you pay back what you stole, and any subsequent appreciation of the animal, you pay back as well. Whatever happened, you pay it back. Between the time of theft and the time of repayment, you pay back. Rabbi Huda Omer, Gzela Chozeres Beinei. Rabbi Huda says, no. Halacha L'maisa. You return the object as it is now. As it is now. Look at Rashi. Kazela Chazar is Bene. Rashi says, Kimoshi Achshav, Rekonis Yachsirena, Bahadur Mishalim de Megizos, V'ubar, Kimoshi Haya Bishas Akzela. Listen to this. Rabbi Huda is like this. Number one, if the animal is still in existence, you give back the animal as it is now. Let's say the animal depreciated. So then we look at the value of the animal at the time that you stole it, and you make up the difference. Right? So we'll say, so this is Rabbi Huda. Rabbi Huda, give back the animal as it is now, plus whatever value, additional value it had at the time that it was stolen. So we'll say, so just to keep track. Rabbi Meir, you pay back everything, the animal as it was stolen, and any subsequent appreciations. Rabbi Huda, not really appreciations. You give back the animal as it is now. And if there's a difference in what it's valued now versus what it was valued at the time that you stole it, you make up that difference if it depreciated. Rabbi Shimon says, Ro'anosa ki'ilu hishuma esla b'kesef. Rabbi Shimon says, we look at the animal as if it was valued by money. Now, both say, what Rabbi Shimon seems to be saying is the same thing as Rabbi Huda. Namely, we look at the value of the animal at the time it was stolen, and that's what you pay back. So the Gemara is going to ask, Rabbi Shimon seems to be saying the same exact thing as Rabbi Huda. Okay, say, Bailu, my time is Rabbi Meir. So we'll say, what's the position of Rabbi Meir? So we'll say, now remember, Rabbi Meir is the most stringent. What Rabbi Meir essentially says is like this. If that animal appreciates over the course of the time that it's with the thief has to give back all of that appreciation. So whatever happened between the time that you stole it and the time that you give it back, obviously we'll say, if it depreciates, so everyone holds that halacha l'maisa, you always have to pay at least what the animal was worth at the time it was stolen. Right? So even if it subsequently depreciates, you're on the hook for that. Rabbi Meir says, let's say it subsequently appreciates, right? It gives birth, it has wool, it has all this stuff. You have to pay back all of the appreciation as well. So my time to Rabbi Meir, what's Rabbi Meir's logic? Mishum the kasavar, Shabbos, what's his logic? Is it because he holds, Shinui bim koma omeid? Listen, maybe it's because he holds, going back to yesterday's daf, Shinui bim koma omeid, which means what? The animal never leaves the possession of the original owner. And therefore, again, it makes sense that any subsequent appreciation belongs to the owner. Odama, bi'alma shinui kona. Maybe not. Maybe in general, both saying, when a thief steals something, ultimately, again, a change in domain, a change in ownership, ultimately removes the animal from the possession of the original owner. Bahacha, b'knasa hu d'kanasle. Bahacha, k'nasa hu d'kakanas. And I will say, this is a knas. We slap the thief with an additional penalty payment. They say, listen, whatever appreciation this animal had, now you are on the hook for it. So we'll say, here the shayla, which one does Rabbi Meir hold? Shinui bimkomo omeit, the animal never leaves the possession of the original owner, or no, this is a kinas. So my nafkin, we'll say, who cares? Well, it matters. Lahecha tikacha shamachish. So we'll say, it wouldn't matter a lot. Where would it matter? It would matter in a case ultimately of depreciation. So we'll say, in a case of depreciation, so bepashtos, if you hold shinui bimkomo omeit, so what should the thief be able to do? Give back the animal. Hareshah chalafaneacha. That's it, I'm done. I stole the sheep. I'm giving you back the sheep, and I'm done. If it's a situation of kinas, then ultimately, again, he would not be able to do that. And halacha l'maisa, halacha lemaisa, he'd be obligated to pay at least the value of the time that it was stolen. Look at Rashi v'nafkamina lehecha delo hishpicha elakachasha. So we'll say if the animal didn't appreciate, but it depreciated. So we'll say here the nafkamina. If you hold that shinui b'mkama omeid, that the animal never leaves the possession of the original owner, so if the animal subsequently depreciates, the thief has the ability to return the object and say to the owner, "Harishal chalafanecha," and I'm done. If it's knas, then ultimately, again, knas would say, no. You always have to pay at least in accordance of the amount that it value of that it had when it was stolen. So we'll say, let's analyze. What's right, Meir Shita? So Tashma, Gazal Beima Vizkina Avadin Vizkinu. We'll say, if you stole an animal and it aged, not every animal ages gracefully. So we'll say, so what happens? Mamish, this animal, right? So it really aged and depreciated. Avadin Vizkinu, or slaves, right? You stole an Eved, and the Eved aged. So we'll say, what's the halacha? Mishalin kishas hagzela. Halacha lemaisa, you repay the stolen object in accordance with its value at the time it was stolen. Rabbi Meir says, ba'avadim omer lo, harishal chalafanecha. Rabbi Meir says, when it comes to an Eved, you could give back the Eved, and you could say to the master, here, I stole the Eved, I'm giving you back the Eved, and that's it. Aye, vila behema kishas hagzela. But yet Rabbi Meir holds that what? When you steal an animal, I will say, how is the value of that animal determined? In accordance with its value at the time that you stole it. Okay, so now let's plug this in. So if Rabbi Meir holds that Allah Chalamaisa, an object, a stolen object, never leaves the domain of its owner, then afilu behema nami. Then I will say, even with an animal, what should the thief be able to do? Just give it back. So I'll say the fact that ultimately, again, you have to pay in accordance with the time that it was stolen, what does that tell you? It must be, I will say, that the sheet of Rabbi Meir is like this. Rabbi Meir holds that in reality, shinui kona. No. When you steal an object, ultimately the thief acquires the object. Aye, so if that's the case, then why does Rabbi Meir hold that your chayiv ultimately, again, to pay at least the value of, right, why does Rabbi Meir hold that your chayiv to pay all of the appreciation? V'acha b'knasa hu d'kakonis. It's a knas. I says, Amri, Rabbi Meir, d'verin d'rabban akamralu. Maybe not. Maybe Rabbi Meir ultimately, again, is talking in accordance with the words of the Rabban. And how so? Rabbi Meir would say like this, lididi shinui enakone. Rabbi Meir could say like this, in reality, I hold that a change of domain does not result in a change of ownership. That ultimately the animal never leaves the possession of the owner. Fafi la behema nami. And this tribe applies to behema as well. Elo ledidachu da amrisu shinui kona. But according to you, Rabbanan, who hold that shinui is kona, odu lumihas ba'avda de mekarkoi dami, the karka in an exelus. At least agree with me that if you steal an eved, ultimately, again, that Eved remains in the possession of the owner. Why? Because let's remember again, Avadim are like Karka, are like real property. Real property cannot be stolen. So at least admit to me that when you steal an Eved, that Eved never really leaves the possession of the owner. And therefore, Shinui b'mkoma omeid. Vamil Rabbanan, the Rabbanan say back, no, lo avda ki mitaltali dami. No, rather we say that what? An Eved ultimately, again, is like mitaltal. They disagree. So therefore we'll say, okay, so where we left? We're still back where we started, which means we're trying to figure out the position of Rabbi Meir. What does Rabbi Meir say? Let's go back to our original Braisa. Rabbi Meir said that Allah Chalamaisa, if I go ahead and I steal ultimately, again, a sheep that has a lot of wool or a pregnant cow, and I shear the wool and the cow gives birth. Rabbi Meir says, when you return the stolen object, you have to return everything. The value, not only value at the time it was stolen, but what? All appreciation as well. So now the Gemara is trying to figure out, what is the logic of Rabbi Meir? Is it that Rabbi Meir holds shinui b'mkoma omeid, that the animal never leaves the possession of its owner, and therefore that makes sense? When you return everything, this animal never left the possession of the original owner. Therefore, the owner is entitled to animal plus appreciation. Or maybe not. Maybe not. What does Rabbi Meir hold? Maybe normally Rabbi Meir holds like this. No, when the thief steals the object, really at that moment of theft, it becomes the property of the thief. Aye, so if that's the case, why does the thief have to give back all appreciation? Why? Knas. It's a penalty payment. So we're still trying to figure out which one of those two does Rabbi Meir actually hold. So let's go weiter. So Tashma. So Mar goes right. Gemara says Tashma. So we're going to see this case. In a couple of days from now. I give wool to a dyer and I tell him, go ahead and dye it red. And what does he do? He dyes it black. Shachar v'tzava adam, or the opposite. What's the halacha? Rabbi Meir Omer, no sin lo demeit samro. So Rabbi Meir says, the dyer has to give me the value of my wool. He didn't do what I said. He gave back the value of my wool. So the Gemara says, demeit samro in, demeit samro shvacho lo. So we'll say, what is the dyer obligated to give me? The value of my wool. What is he not obligated to give me? Appreciation. So we'll say, so for example, let's say I told him dye it red, he dyed it black. And let's say for argument's sake, black wool is worth more than red wool. But I don't want black wool. Right, so let's say again, what is the dyer obligated to give me? Yes, he gives me back the value of my wool, but not any appreciation. So we'll say, if you hold, the Rabbi Meir holds, then Allah Halamaisa, the object always remains with the possession of the original owner. So the maid Samro, Ushivacho by the Mesavle, then really the dyer should have to give me what? Both, we'll call it principle and appreciation. Alash Mamina, Kasav Rabbi Meir, Shinui Kona. Rather, we'll say, what do you see from here? Rabbi Meir holds Shinui Kona, that a change of possession, in fact, really is a change of ownership. Vahacha Kinasahu Dekanis, Dekakanis, Shmamina. So we'll say, what do you see from here? Then Rabbi Meir says in our previous case that when you steal the pregnant cow, right, and it gives birth, or the sheep and you shear it, right, extra wool, ultimately again, and you're obligated, Rabbi Meir says you're obligated to give back everything, the object in appreciation. I will say, what is that? It's a knas. Ultimately, again, it's a penalty payment. So we'll say, and that seems to be the halacha. Ikedan, we'll say alternate version of this. Ikedan Amri, ha lo ibarilan. Ultimately, again, this is not a question for us. Why? Mid the apech Rav Vitani, because Rav switched around and he said as follows: Gazel part of the eskina avadim v'eskino. If you went ahead and you stole a cow and it got older, or avadim and they got older, mshalim kishas akzed remer. Remer says you pay in accordance with the value of the time. Ultimately, again, that you stole it. The Chum say ba'avadim omer lo harisha chalafanecha. The Chum say when it comes to avadim, you just return the slave. The Gemara says. So the says, "Vada the Rabbi Meir Shinri Kona." So the according to Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Meir holds Shinri Kona. V'halcha Kinasahu Dikakonislay. And over here it's a Knas Kikai Barilan. Both say, "Where is the question?" So the Gemara says, "Hachi Barilan Kikakonis Bemezid Aval B'Shogeg Lokonis Odilma Afilu B'Shogeg Kakonis." So both say, "Now listen to this. In this alternate version, both say, Rabbi Meir definitely holds." So both say, "Here's what's interesting." So again, what we're coming out with over here is Rabbi Meir himself holds Shinui Kona. Shinui Kona. So we'll say what that means is when you steal an object, ultimately thief acquires the object. So therefore, when Rabbi Meir says thief has to give back object plus all appreciation, then therefore again, what is that? That's a knas. That's a penalty payment. So in this alternate version, what's the penalty payment? What's the shaila? The shaila is, does the penalty only apply in a case of mezid, where you intentionally stole, or does the penalty even apply in a case of shogeg? And I will say, so I know what you're thinking. What's the case of shogeg? Case of shogeg is very simple. What's the case of shogeg? You bought property not realizing that what? It was stolen. Now the property appreciates under your ownership. New owner, right? Original owner, or I should say actual owner, comes along, takes back the stolen property. So we'll say, just to illustrate this, right? I buy property from Shimon, right? It turns out that Shimon stole that property from Reuven. So I'm taking care of the property, right? It appreciates. Now Reuven comes along and takes back it, which he's entitled to, right? Reuven is now to take back his stolen property from me. Obviously, I'm not the thief. I'm just the unwitting purchaser from a thief. But now he comes back and he takes it back from me. So we'll say, now what's the shaila? I have to give him back the property. What's the issue? The issue is it appreciated under my ownership. Do I have to give back the appreciation as well? Now remember, Rabbi Meir says in general, when it comes to stolen property, you're obligated to give back principal plus appreciation. Why? What's Rabbi Meir's logic? What's his logic? Knas. It's a penalty. So now the shaila is the penalty only on mezid, Or is it the penalty also on shogeg? So profound. So the Gemara says, so let's analyze. Tashma, chamisha govim mina mechurorin. There are five people who collect only from the chasim mechurorin. I will say, the chasim mechurorin are the opposite of the chasim mishubadim. Right? So there are five collections that can only collect essentially from owned, unencumbered property. And what are they? We're not going to get into all of them. Eluhain, peros, collection for use of peros, shevach peros, appreciation, mekambel alav lazun ben ishto ubas ishto, from a man who goes ahead and takes it upon himself to support his wife's children, the get chov she'in bo achrayus, or again, we'll say that's a loan document that doesn't have any achrayus, any encumbrances on it, uksuvas ishto, she'in bo achrayus, and ultimately, again, a ksuva that doesn't have achrayus either. So man shamislei, so we'll say just in general, this is interesting, man shamislei, da'amar achrayus lav tal sofer, and I will say, now in general, a lot of these things, like for example, ksuva, come with achrayus. And we assume even if the document doesn't list achrayus, what is that? That is a scribal error. A scribal error. So what is the opinion that says lack of achrayus is not tal sofer? Rabbi Meir, v'katani peros, v'shevach peros. So we'll say, yeah, it says peros and shevach peros. Now what's the case of shevach peros? The shevach peros echidami. What's the case of shevach peros? Where is it? Kigon, shegozel sada mechavero. Watch this. Here's what we'll say. Watch this. So Reuven stole a field from Shimon, or I should say before, Shimon sold a field from Reuven, umachra la'acher. And then what happens? Shimon sells the field to me. And then what happens? So v'hishbicha, I improve the field. V'harihi yotzi mitachas yado. And now what happens? Reuven, the original owner, comes and takes his field back from me. That was it. So what have I done? I bought the field and I improved the field. So what's talach? Havariyotzi mitachas yado. Kishugove, ultimately, again, when I go back to collect now from Shimon, the person who sold him, I will say, Amid Beis, Sadikim Beis, Gove as Akarim and Echasim Mishubadim, I could go ahead and collect the principal, right? Because remember, again, I will say, I paid for the land, so I can go back now. I can go back now to Shimon, who sold me stolen property, and I could collect from him for the principal from the Echasim Mishubadim, even from Shimon's encumbered assault property. And ultimately, again, for appreciation, I could collect ultimately again from unencumbered property. So the Gemara says, "Da'asa bal are v'shakel are v'shabche." So we'll say, what's the case over here? Where ultimately, again, the owner, right, the owner of the land came in and improved the land. My lad ba'ama aretz de lo yoda the karka nixelas o einar nixelas. So we're not talking about a case where ultimately, again, either it's an Amma Aretz who didn't know that Karka, that didn't know the Karka Nigzelas, or Alok Lamaisa, he took the land and he improved it. V'shmami, now what do you see from here? V'shogeg nami kanis. We'll say, what do you see from here? You see from here that Rabbi Meir's model, that's what? Even a shogeg case, he still didn't get the kanas. We'll say, just reorient ourselves a little bit over here. What are we focusing on now? We solved step number one. Step number one was what? When Rabbi Meir holds that you have to give back appreciation, right? Ultimately, again, why? Why? Is it because he holds shinui eino kone, and therefore the object always remains with the original owner, or maybe old shinui kone? But what is this? A knas. So we answered that. What's the answer? Knas. Rabbi Meir holds shinui kone. When a thief steals an object, he acquires the object. It becomes his. But it's a knas that says he still has to give back appreciation. Okay, now question two. What's question two? When Rabbi Meir imposes that knas, is that only in a case of mezid or even in a case of shogeg? So the Gemara says, what do you see from here? Shmamina, based on this last case, shmamina, b'shogeg nami kanis. We'll say ultimately, again, we see from here that ultimately it's even a shogeg case. Here's the Gemara says, very interesting. The Gemara says, lo, belokeach tam tchach of the yada. Maybe not supposed to. Maybe this was a case ultimately again of a Talmud Chacham who knew what he was doing, and therefore it's a case of Mezid. Okay? So I'll say, so therefore we still haven't answered that question. So Tashra, we'll say Tzadikim Rebbeis 95b, 95b, 2, 4, 6, 7 lines up from the top. Tashma, Litzboa, lo adam. When Eliyahu Navi comes, one of the things we're going to talk to him about is resizing the Dabim of Baba Kama. Right? This is Mamish. I don't know. I'm trying. So Tashma. So let's boil Adam Utsavah Shachar. So let's go back before. Halacha Lamaisa. We said before that what I give over wool to the dyer to go ahead and dye it red, and he ends up dyeing it black. Shachar tzva adam, or the reverse. All right, so we'll say, what's the halacha? Reimer omer, no sin lo demeit samro. So Reimer says, we'll say, what is the dire obligated? Dire ab is obligated to give back the value of my wool. He didn't do what I asked him to do. Ultimately, give me back the value of the wood. So the Gemara says, demeit samro in, demeit samro ushavacho lo. As we mentioned before. So we'll say, let's say for argument's sake, I want it dyed red. He dyed it black. And it turns out that what? Black wool is worth more than red wool. So all he's obligated to do is what? Give me back principal, but not appreciation, right? So demeit samro, demeit samro in, demeit samro shvachol lo. These are like chabeshogim namikanis. So samro shvachol by lemeisa, right? So I don't understand. So even if halacha lemeisa, if the penalty, if Rabbi Meir's knas applies even in a case of shogeg, then ultimately, why isn't the dyer obligated to give me back principal and appreciation, even in the case of shogeg? To which the Gemara says, "La shmamina, b'mezid kanis b'shogeg lo kanis shmamina." So the Gemara says, "You're right. Halacha lemaisa, your Rabbi Meir's position of the knas only applies in a case of mezid, doesn't apply in a case of shogeg." So therefore, Rabbosai, this now I just want to point out. So therefore, what we have over here is two things. Number one, Rabbi Meir holds shinei kona. When you steal an object, ultimately thief acquires the object. Number two, Rabbi Meir says, despite that, thief is obligated to give back principal and appreciation. However, when is thief obligated to give back principal and appreciation? Only when? In the case of mezid, not in the case of shogeg. Now, I will say, now, what we don't know yet is, do we paskin like Rabbi Meir, right? Remember again, Rabbi Meir was one of three opinions. But now, at least, I will say, all of that ultimately was the vort Rabbi Meir. Next, I will say, now we're going to go through the next two opinions. What did Rabbi Yehuda say? Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Gezela Chazeres Be'ene. Rabbi Yehuda says, when you steal an object, what do you do with it? What do you do with it? Just give it back. Now we'll say, now what does that sound like? What does that sound like? You give it back as is. Now, Rashi did point out, you give it back as is. However, if there was depreciation, what are you obligated to do? Make up the value of the animal as it is now, and ultimately, again, what it was. What are you not obligated to do? What are you not obligated to do? You don't have to give back what? Appreciation. The Pashas Rabbi Yehuda holds shinui enokona. The animal remains the possession of the owner. Rabbi Shimon Omer rona sakilu yishuma es lo bekes. Rabbi Shimon says we essentially look at the animal as if we look at the financial value of the animal at the time it was stolen, and that's what you're obligated to give back. So Gemara says, I don't understand. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon seem to be saying the exact same thing. Rav Zvid, b'shevach sha'agabi gzilek miflagi. Oh, I will say, this is really interesting. I will say, what they're arguing about is like this. What is the status of appreciation that is attached to the animal? Look at Rashi. It's the first of the short lines in Rashi. First short line in Rashi. B'shevach sha'agabi gzilek kigon. Shishpicha etzlo, v'adayin lo nukleim eno kigon, reikonis finis abra otu'una giza. Okay, I will say, this is great. So now remember, the common denominator between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon right now is that what? Both of them hold, shinui enokona, and therefore again, if I steal the sheep from Reuven, what's the halacha? I give back the sheep. And if the sheep depreciated, what's the halacha? You have to make up the difference in depreciation and the value at the time it was stolen. Beautiful. So they're saying the same thing. Watch this. Let's say there's appreciation. I stole the sheep. And I both say, now what happens? As I'm giving it back, it has a beautiful, like, robust, I don't know if that's the right word, but robust coat of wool. I don't know if it's called a coat of wool either, but you understand. Right? It's got mamish now. So what does that mean? So it has appreciation that is attached to the animal itself. So what's the status of that appreciation? So here we go. So my ben Aaron b'shevach shagabi gzelkum efigir. Rabbi Yehuda savar denigzal havi. Rabbi Yehuda holds ultimately again that halacha lemaisa, that wool, that appreciation belongs to the victim. For Rabbi Shimon savar the gazlan havi. Rabbi Shimon holds that the wool ultimately again belongs to the thief. Isn't that incredible? So take a look at Rashi this moment. So Rabbi Yehuda suffered the exahavi. Vachkam Rabbi Yehuda gazela chazaris bein lebala bein leshvach bein legriusa. So we'll say. So this is all. We don't have time for Rashi now. We'll just do it outside. So we'll say. So that is fundamental machlokes. Really, what their nafkamina will be in a case where there is appreciation attached to the animal itself. Rabbi Yehuda says that belongs to the victim, and Rabbi Shimon says that belongs to the thief. Rav Papa says no. Techoli alma shevach shagabe gzela the gazlan havi. Not true. So it's actually incredibly fascinating. Rabbi Papa says everyone agrees that with the appreciation that is actually attached to the animal, that ultimately again belongs to the thief himself. V'acha lemechza l'shlish u'l'raviyah k'meflagi. I was saying, this is getting really interesting now. So I say, so now, halacha l'maisa, the shayla is, does the thief have to give back some percentage? 50%, a third, or a quarter? I was saying, now what is that? Look at Rashi. Lemechza l'shlish, k'derech minak ha'medina, l'mekabli behemos, l'ashpichon l'zman gadol kazeh. So Rabbi said, it is natural, ultimately, again, when you have an animal with you for a prolonged amount of time, that the person who has the animal shares in the appreciation to a certain degree. So Rabbi said, so that's the machlokes over here. Rabbi Huda Savar, Shevach Shagabi, Gzela, Kuleg, Degazlami. Rabbi Huda also, Rabbi said, now Rabbi Huda's position, actually, is probably quite clear, right? Rabbi Huda's position is, Shinui, Bimkoma, Omeid, the animal never leaves the possession of the owner. So obviously, any appreciation, right, especially appreciation that's on the animal itself, of course, is going to belong. I'm sorry, I said that wrong. Right? Shevach Shagabi, Gzela, Gazlan Havi. Ultimately, again, he holds that any appreciation that's on the animal itself belongs to the gazlan. Rabbi Shimon Savar, lemechza u'lishlish u'l'raviyahu d'shakal. A gazlan. Right? Ultimately, again, Rabbi Shimon says, he takes a portion of it. Right? He takes a portion of it goes to the gazlan, and ultimately, again, a portion of it goes to the owner. So Mara says, Tinan, gazal para v'nis abra etzlo. So as we learn the following. If you steal a cow, ultimately, again, it becomes pregnant. The yalda, and it gives birth. Rachel, v'nit ana etzlo v'gazazah, or you stole a sheep, and ultimately, again, it develops wool, and the wool is shorn. So what's the halacha? Mishalim kishas agzela. Halacha l'maisa, when returning the animal, you pay for the value of the animal as it was at the time that you stole it. Yalda in, lo yalda, hajamena. So what do you see from here? This discussion is only when the animal gave birth. If the animal did not give birth, then what? Then halacha l'maisa, you give it back as is. Now we'll say, what's that? That's called pregnancy. What's pregnancy? Pregnancy is called attached appreciation. So what do you see from here? That when there is attached appreciation, who gets it? The owner of the animal. So Bishtam Rav Zavid, the Amr Shevach Shagabi Gzela Dinig Zahavi, Rabbi Huda. So Mar Zahami Rabbi Hudi. So I'll say, so according to Rav Zavid, is Rabbi Huda, El Rav Papa, the Amr, the Gazlan, according to Rav Papa who says that it belongs to the Gazlan, Hamani, Lo Rabbi Huda, Lo Rabbi Shimon. It's not Rabbi Huda, it's not Rabbi Shimon. Rav Papa, Huadin Afilu Lo Yalda Nami Kishas Gzela de Mishale. So I'll say, in reality, Rav Papa says like this, in reality, even if it didn't give birth, ultimately, again, halacha l'maisa, you give back in accordance with the value of time was stolen. So the Gemara says, "V'hadik tani yalda." Why did he say a case of birth? I did dinasiv reisha yalda, nasiv seifa nami yalda. Since the reisha talked about yalda, the seifa also spoke about yalda. We'll say, all right, we'll have to stop over here. I know we did that last part quickly. We'll stop over here. We'll say, so bottom line, what we're ending off with is machlokes Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Shimon, which when you're looking at the Mishnah, sound like they're saying the same exact thing. It turns out that what's their machlokes? The machlokas has to do with attached appreciation. Who gets that? How do we share in that? And we have session to be continued tomorrow. Shkoyach. All right, Chevron Zoom. Have a great day, everyone.